once again welcome you to the Q&A program, Questions and Answers with Mufti Afzal Hussain Inyas. Anything that's on your mind, inshallah, Hazrat Mufti Saab will try to help you. Any queries on your mind, do call us on 011-854-1548. Or we have an SMS number 072-066-7318. That's the SMS number for today, 072-066-7318. Any questions you have, and our fax number 011-854-7025. Let's welcome Hazrat Mufti Saab to the program. Welcome, Mufti Afzal Hussain Inyas.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. How are you doing this evening?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Saab, the first question we have is about natural disasters. Is there a particular reason why natural disasters take place?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As far as these natural disasters are concerned, then understand something very carefully, that the amal of the Muslims determine the ahwal, the conditions of the inhabitants of the surface of the earth. There's a hadith in Bukhari stating that the sparrow, an innocent bird, a sparrow freezes to death because of the amal of the Muslims. First of all, also, we should understand why amal of Muslims. It's very easy to understand this. In the river, there is water. The oceans, there is water. But to make the clouds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take all the water of the ocean to make the clouds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take all the water of the rivers and the tributaries to make the clouds. Certain portion of the ocean, certain chosen portion of the ocean, water of it is taken up, formulated into clouds, and then they come onto the surface of the earth. Similarly, the ahwal, the actions, the behavior, the iman, and the condition of the Muslims is taken into account, and faisala decision and environment decisions are made, conditional decisions are made on the surface of the earth because of the actions, behavior, iman of the Muslims. Late Mufti Ahmad Behmat Saab, who was a Sheikh al-Hadith of Falai Dareen Takeshwar, he wrote one kitab, Causes and Their Calamities. Mufti Lajpuri Ramtullah Ali has also written on this topic. And Mufti Mahmood al-Hassan Ramtullah Ali also wrote on this topic. And in the hadiths you'll find, basically these luminaries, they have listed the hadiths and the results. For example, when there is adultery and fornication taking place, then you will get famine and epidemics. When you will get interest being taken and crime being committed, then you get earthquakes. So they have enumerated the relevant ahadiths together with the causes. That means the actions, the evil actions, and the subsequent destructive causes. So definitely, these disasters, etc., are due to some sin in most cases. Currently in the world, it is not mostly due to testing the people, but it is because of the sin perpetrated by the people and especially the Muslims of that area.
Jazakumullah. We have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I'd like to ask Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, I reside in the Roshni area, right? And recently I went to Bedford View, so that was about 70 kilometers from my house. And from there we went to Mayfair, that's another 25 kilometers. So altogether we traveled 95 kilometers. Now, what I'd like to know is, what is the position of the Zohar Namaz? Was I supposed to do Qasr or full Namaz?
When you left your home, did you make intention of Safar?
Yes.
Mufti Saab is asking, when you left home, did you make intention of
travel? No, we didn't make no intention of, because we didn't know what the distance we were going to travel like.
So when you did not make intention of safar, you're not a musafir. But if you had made intention that you are going to become a musafir and your last destination is after Bedford View, where did?
So you traveled for another 25 kilometers.
So that place, if they had made intention from whilst leaving Roshdi, then they should have become a musafir. But because they made no intention, they are not classified as musafir, and the Zohar Salat had to be performed in full.
Okay, Jazakallah, sister.
Okay.
Your question is answered.
Jazakallah, assalamualaikum.
Walaikum salam. Dear listeners, 011-854-1548. That's the direct line. You can speak to Mufti Saab on air. And the fax is 011-854-7024. And the SMS number is 072-066-7318. So next question we have, Mufti Saab. The sister says that she is a widow in Parda. She wants to know, is it permissible to pluck and shapen her eyebrows to beautify herself for her husband? She also wants to know, can I do it to beautify myself for my children? She says that she has two son-in-laws. Please advise on this.
Very dangerous, that is. Because now she has brought son-in-laws into the picture. Understand, and I would request the listeners to understand and not misunderstand me or misconstrue me or misinterpret me or misquote me, please. Because we have stated in earlier programs that if the eyebrows are hairy and unkempt and they are disheveled and they are pushy in nature and they are out of control, then to neaten them, I will reiterate, to neaten them, to take out a very little, to neaten them for the sake of neatening, then it is permissible. I've given the references of Shami and Vestizevar, etc. I added something, and I'm quoting from Dari or Ambiya Ki Sunnat by Alama Sayyid Palampuri, Dawud Barakatum. He has just quoted it till there, but I have added that this should be done solely for the pleasure of the husband, not for any other cosmetic reason, and not for attracting any person, and especially if they are son-in-laws, then definitely this should not be done for them. That would be absolutely drinking upon prohibited actions. And it should not be done for cosmetic reasons, for attracting other rare mahrams. So, for only neatening, some can be taken out.
Jazakumullah. Let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I'd like to know from Mufti Saab, I've heard that if you're away from your husband for more than 3 months, then your nikah is not valid anymore. But I'm away from my husband because of business reasons. And I'm away for more than 6 months now.
Okay, Ben. Sorry, Ben, do you have your radio on in the background?
Just hold on, I'll put it off.
Jazakallah. The sister, she wants to know whether that rule applies to her as well.
Well, what happened there?
She says that she heard if you are away from your husband for more than 3 months, then she heard you are separated and divorced from your husband. She is away from her husband for more than 6 months now, but due to business reasons, she wants to know, does that rule apply to her as well?
I would like to know whether she is away from her husband or her husband is away from her.
No, I'm away from my husband.
Listen on here.
Okay, Jazakallah, sister. Mufti Saab will answer your question.
Jazakallah.
You can listen on the radio. Jazakallah. Okay, before we answer that question, Mufti Saab, we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I've got a question for Mufti. In Islam, is it allowed for a Muslim to work in a sound shop specializing in car sound or in the same breath own a sound shop?
The brother wants to know, is it permissible for him to work in a sound shop where they fit car sounds and so on?
Car sound shop. Okay, no problem.
Okay, Jazakallah, brother. Mufti Saab will answer your question on the radio.
Okay.
Jazakallah.
Okay, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Jee, Mufti Saab, the first question was the lady about separation from her husband.
Irrespective of whether the husband is separated from the wife or the wife separated from the husband, for any reason, the talaq does not occur automatically. There is no such thing as separation between the husband and the wife due to any reason, business or otherwise, dispute or quarrel, or just for reconciliation, cool-off period, unless and until the husband does not issue the talaq, either by writing or verbally, the talaq, the divorce, does not occur. But what I am worried, and I ask the question, that it is rather sad that the lady is away from the husband, and he is on business. This is not very conducive for Islamic environment, Islamic behavior, Islamic setup. And we are of the opinion that the husband must be the provider for the family. He should be the breadwinner. He should be the metaphorical sustainer, provider. And he should be toiling and working hard for the upkeep and maintenance and sustenance of his family, not the other way around. And I just make dua that she is out here with a mahram and not alone out here without any mahram. Without any mahram to go out for business reasons for ladies. And unfortunately, we find this happening in South Africa too. Many ladies are leaving the shores of the country without mahrams and going even into the blessed lands to conduct business, and this is absolutely not correct. In fact, it is near haram for them to go out without any mahram, even if it be for Hajj and Umrah, etc. So the talaq does not occur, but we will advise that the reconciliation takes place. And the separation between the husband and the wives should not be for lengthy periods. We are living in a time of fitna and fasad, trial and tribulation, and the onslaught against Muslim ladies and men is tremendous via the media. The second question concerning the sound, yes, it is permissible for a Muslim to work in installing car sound systems.
Jazakumullah. Mufti Saab, there's a listener that wants to ask a question in Urdu. Is that fine with you?
No problem.
Okay.
Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
जी मैं स्प्रिंग कॉल से बात कर रही हूँ प्रीना खान से तो मैं पाकिस्तान से आई हूँ पाकिस्तान में प्रेग्नेंट लेडीज होती हैं उनके लिए पहले 3 माह में एक दवाई देते हैं कि जिससे वो कहते हैं कि बेटा होगा तो मुझे मुफ्ती साहब से पूछना है ये शेक है या नहीं कि पाकिस्तान में ऐसे देते हैं दवाई क्योंकि जिनके बेटियाँ हों वो फिर दवाई लेते हैं तो उनके बेटा हो जाता है ये एक तजर्बा भी है वहाँ पे देखा है हमने मुफ्ती साहब से पूछना है कि ये शिर्क है या सही है क्योंकि वो कहते हैं ये सिर्फ इलाज की नीयत से है पाकिस्तान में कहते हैं
जी
तो मुझे मुफ्ती साहब से एक बात पूछनी
है समझ गया
जज़ाकअल्लाह ठीक है आप रेडियो पर सुने
जी जी
जज़ाकअल्लाह
बेसिकली फॉर दोज़ हू डू नॉट अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट शी सेड दैट शी इज फ्रॉम पाकिस्तान एंड इन पाकिस्तान the ladies who are expecting and who are bearing only female children, by way of treatment, they are given something to drink and they generally get the boy after that. She wants to know whether this is shirk or not shirk. Yeh agar bataur ilaaj istemal karenge aur sahi niyat ke saath, aqeedatan yeh hona chahiye ki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wo فقط دینے والا ہے is niyat se, wo shirk nahi hoga. Basically, we should have our belief in order, and we should be correct that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver, and use it as a treatment, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is effective. It is not shirk.
Jazakumullah. The next question, is it permissible for women to stop their menstrual cycle when going for Hajj?
Although permissible, it is makruh. Makruh because it is sooner or later going to affect their physique, their physical and biological setup. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a system, and the natural system is the best system. People also use medication in the month of Ramadan to defer their menstruation cycle so that they fast the whole of Ramadan and do not have to keep any qaza fast. Here too, although permissible. When we say although permissible, as a last resort you do it. Like for example, taking injection in the month of fasting. It is just not permissible. People cannot say it is permissible. When you say permissible, then for small and petty reasons, people want to take injections. We say as a last resort, then you take the injection. As a last resort, you will take the medication to postpone the menstruation during Hajj, when you know you cannot postpone your flight, etc. And there is no way of maneuvering your flight back, then you will take the medication to postpone the menstrual cycle, to accommodate you. But to just do it for fun, cosmetic reasons, etc., that will definitely not be permissible.
Jazakumullah. There you have it, listeners. It's a Q&A program, questions and answers. Mufti Azal Hussain Yas is helping you through your queries. Anything on your mind, do call us on 011-854-1548, or you can SMS us on 072-066-7318. The next question, what can a person read for a baby that continuously cries?
First of all, that if the cry is of a shrieking nature, the child is not looking at the mother, then generally that is nazar. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Al-Ainu Haqqun, that the evil eye is truthful. So the simple formula Ulama Ikram have written, that after any salat, preferably, that to recite the Mawazatain, meaning the last two kulls of Qur'an Kareem, and blow on the child. If you want to do that, you can do that, or recite Surah Ayatul Kursi and blow on the child, but have the intention for removal of Nazar. And also, you can recite Surah Fatiha too. So do that, inshallah.
Inshallah, Allah make it easy. Let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, we've lost that one. The next question, Mufti Saab, is about dreams. The person says that does a recurring dream of tidal waves mean anything?
The person should seek more and more knowledge. The recurring nature of such a dream would indicate that the person should seek knowledge as much as possible, because that person is definitely lacking in knowledge.
Jazakumullah. The question here is, I've got a collection of tins, a collection tins, and somehow the labels have come out. I don't know which organizations they belong to. What should I do with these tins?
First of all, that you should recall from memory in your shop who came there, which organizations came there, and put them down on paper with their phone numbers and phone them, and tell them your difficulty. Because actually when you took the tin from these organizations, you undertook a amanat, meaning that you are going to be collecting indirectly on their behalf. And by the labels disappearing now, actually you are now in a position that you do not know which tin belongs to who. So you have to phone the organizations. Obviously, it will not be 100. It can be only 5 organizations. And you phone them and tell them, see, I've got 5 tills in front of me, and this is the position. Then, inshallah, you can reach an agreement to them that they can come and take one till. And you should stipulate to them, for example, like that the first person comes can take the first till, and so on. And then distribute it to those various organizations. And make a mutual agreement with them after talking to them that you are sorry, you should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in reality you are sinful by your negligence of removing those labels. So seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reallocate those tents and distribute them.
Jazakumullah. Let's take the next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. I got with a question to the sound. I forgot to mention, this is for like competition sound, you know, for haram uses, where guys are going to come in to play sound, like put subwoofers and all that to play haram music. Is it still allowed? And the second question is, a husband and wife, if they're married and living with his parents, and the wife has a fight with the parent-in-law, and she says she doesn't want to speak to them anymore, she'll live here under certain conditions, and you know, she stops. There's a lot of animosity between her and them now because she refuses to speak to them and demands her own place or a divorce. What is there to do in that situation? And like, what is the wife's right? Should she carry on speaking, or should I get her away from here?
Okay, Mursab, do you need to ask the brother any further questions about that sound?
Yeah, the second question you have understood, because I did not hear it. You'll repeat it to me.
Ji, inshallah.
No problem.
Okay, Jazakallah, brother.
Okay.
That's fine. He wants to know about...
I understood the first question. Okay. That as long as an equipment has got a dual purpose, then when one of those dual or more purposes, and one of those purposes is permissible, then the rule of permissibility will be given. So he may feel they are using those sophisticated equipment only for music, and there may be some other person stating, no, it can be used for other purposes too. Nowadays, we have a lot of other recordings taking place which are permissible in nature. So when there is a dual or more purposes and one of them is permissible, then we will say permissible. Now the second one, wanna repeat it for me?
The second question, she says, a husband and wife living with parents, and they had some argument, the wife had an argument or a quarrel with the in-laws. Now she wants a separation or divorce, or she wants to be separated by living in separate quarters. What is your advice?
First of all, that unfortunately in our age, that it is a little difficult for the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law to be under one roof. So as far as possible, try to keep them separate for cooperation, harmony, and future good living. Now here, the quarrel has already taken place. So do not ask or give any divorce. Try to find an adequate, suitable accommodation to salvage the marriage.
Jazakumullah. Let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Jeevan, your question.
I just wanted to find out, are women allowed to wear imitation jewelry? For example, Sahani jewelry. And if not, why are we not allowed to wear it? I listen over here.
Jazakumullah. Jazakumullah. The reason for, or is it allowed, imitation jewelry?
Now, we have answered this in great detail. That imitation jewelry will be permissible, but not imitation ring, as stated in Best Is Ever.
Imitation rings?
Not allowed imitation ring, but imitation jewelry, yes, permissible.
Okay. Jazakumullah for that. The next question we have here is it permissible to use peroxide hair dye, and can you dye your hair black if it's your original color?
Male asking or female asking?
I don't have any clarity on that. It's not certain here, Mufti Sahab.
If it is a female, permissible only for the attraction of the husband, no other reason. And male, not permissible.
Jazakallah. The next one, can men wear platinum rings?
Not permissible.
then if an imam makes sajda sahwa and one does not make the salam and goes straight into sajda, is that salah permissible or is that salah valid?
For the muqtadi, yes, it is valid because the muqtadi's errors are under the wing of the imam. However, the action done is not good and definitely it is makruh, and the person should not have done that sinful action because he is not following the imam and he has disregarded the imam. That is why it is makruh. However, his salat will be valid because the imam's salat is valid and he is a muqtadi, follower of the imam. And because the imam made an error and covered it up by the sizda of the mistake, a prostration of mistake, sizda sahw, and because his namaz has become, and his salat has become valid now, the muqtadi's salat has automatically become valid also.
Jazakumullah. The next question is the son-in-law a mahram?
Yes, his son-in-law is the mahram. However, if the mother-in-law is too young and the son-in-law too young, then there should be some cautiousness displayed. And this is the age, unfortunately, of great trial and tribulation. So there should be some sort of barriers inserted and put into place. Some checks and balances should be put into place. But the son-in-law is the mahram.
Jazakumullah. Listeners, it's the Q&A program, questions and answers. We have many questions coming through, alhamdulillah. And our line is 011-854-1548. The SMS is 072-066-7318. The next question, Mufti Saab, is, are women allowed to go to the Qabristan?
As far as the woman, then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam concerning the visiting of the gravesite, Qabristan, at first Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he gave general permission for everybody to go. Then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said no one must go. Then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the men permission to go and stated about the females that they are the weaker gender. And generally, they will tear their hair, beat their chest, and pull their hair in lamentation, mourning, and they are more charged up towards emotionalism. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even gave the reason. Therefore, it is not permissible for women to visit the graveyard. The purpose of visiting the graveyard, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, so that we remember death. And also, that we make dua for the deceased, the inmates of the grave. Now, this can be achieved by the females from home or from wherever they are. They can recite, make nafil ibadah, engage in charity, optional charity, and pass their sawab to the near, dear ones or whosoever they want to do. So, they should be able to do that even if they do not have to go to the graveyard. So it is not necessary for them to go to the graveyard. Visiting of the grave of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is an exception to the rule.
Jazakumullah. Is it permissible for women to become teachers and teach in a school?
As we have stated, that the woman's role in society, we are saying clearly that she should be within the confines of her home. And there are enough Quranic ayahs and also ahadith explaining that the most important role the woman can play is to stay at home, protect her chastity, maintain her honor, and also protect her iman and the property of her husband, teach her children at home. In a totally Islamic environment, and in South Africa that environment is not found, and those who are listening in other countries also, in Western countries, those environments are not found. In a totally Islamic environment, there will be room of permissibility for women to have themselves educated as teachers and then to conduct lessons, etc., and that also within the confines and perimeters of the laws of hijab and parda. These days, unfortunately, that the females go out and come under the sway of those hadiths where Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that they go out as adulteresses, and they go out having fragrance applied, etc., and they go out, unfortunately, earning the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakumullah. Let's take our next corner. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Well, I've got a question for Mufti Sahab. Is organ transplant permitted?
Organ transplant?
Yes.
Okay. Mufti Sahab, do you need any...
No, nothing.
Okay. That's the only question?
That's the only question, yeah.
Jazakumullah. Jazakumullah. Salaam. Jee, Mufti Sahab, organ transplants.
The Fiqh Academy of India, they had a seminar and they had discussed this issue at length. They came to a conclusion that organ transplant is permissible, but under circumstances. These circumstances will be, for example, that it must not be turned into a commercial activity. And lately, we have now come to realize that even in South Africa, they were selling kidneys here. And this is exactly what the fuqaha, classical fuqaha, were talking about. The organs are a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it should not become a commercial, economical activity. Secondly, that the organ should be a life-supporting organ. So the organ is not of a cosmetic, this is a plastic surgery, etc., for cosmetic reasons, will not be allowed. The organ has to be a life-supporting organ. Then the room for permissibility exists.
Jazakumullah. Can men wear imitation silver rings?
Imitation silver rings?
Yes.
It will be permissible.
For men?
Yes.
Jazakumullah. When making istinja in a low-pan toilet, sometimes the water splashes on the body. Is this napak?
The water splashes in a low-pan toilet.
Chi.
It will not make a person napak.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Can we wear jeans under our long kurta?
It is permissible to wear that as long as, remember, in the clothing, the rule is that the external garments must be loose-fitting, not displaying the contour shape of the body. And this, that the external garments must be loose and not displaying the contours and shape of the body, does not only apply to females. It applies both to males and females. Males are under the impression that this dress garb, loose fitting, only applies to females. Unfortunately, this is a wrong conception, and this is a misconception, and we should set our minds right. That loose-fitting garments applies to both male and female. Under the garment, yes, the jean can be worn, but it has to be above the ankles for men.
Jazakumullah. Let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Your question, please.
Mufti Sahab, I want to know what is the benefit of wearing ihram in Masjid al-Aqsa and performing an umrah?
Wearing the ihram from Masjid al-Aqsa and then going to Umrah. What's the benefit? Okay. Is that the only question, brother? Jazakumullah.
Assalamu
alaikum. Salam. Jee, Mufti Sahab. Wearing the ihram from Masjid al-Aqsa and going for Umrah, what's the reward for that?
I stand subject to correction, but I think there is a hadith, and I do not know the status of that hadith, where Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has encouraged the wearing of ihram from Masjid al-Aqsa, and stating even that if you have the means, then send oil for the lanterns of Masjid al-Aqsa. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also mentioned that if you have to tie your saddle for a journey, then you should tie for these three masajids, the Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Masjid al-Aqsa. So Masjid al-Aqsa, in the eyes of Muslims, or in the eyes of us, has got tremendous significance, importance, and benefit. And also, I think there is a hadith stating there is more reward tying of the ihram from Masjid al-Aqsa proceeding for Umrah. And in our age, this should be encouraged a lot so that Masjid al-Aqsa becomes habitated, abad, and there is movement of Muslims in that masjid.
Jazakumullah. If a woman is not pak, can she recite the Quran by heart or even listen to it?
She may listen to it, but she should not recite it.
Even by heart, Muftiza?
You see, by heart is so difficult to explain. And if she says by heart, then what does she mean? By mind reading, by lip moving, by scanning. So what is that? I do not exactly know, so that I am not in a position to give a ruling, because if it is only, solely, wholly by mind reading and scanning, then that is permissible. But inevitably, it's going to end up by moving of the lips, and then that is going to be contrary to the Sharia.
Jazakumullah. Can one attend a mayyat where they read Salami Teresa? Where they read salami and recite the adhan?
One should avoid attending any gathering of any nature wherein there is innovation perpetrated. Irrespective of who that person is, where that person is, or for what status or wealth that person is, any gathering or where there is bidah perpetrated and where there is innovation carried out, we should not be attending or go near those functions.
Jazakallah. The question, my husband gave me permission to tweeze my eyebrows. Is it okay?
Tweeze it.
It's permissible.
Yes. Husband gave permissible to tweeze it, but don't remove it.
Yes. Okay, Jazakallah. If
tweezing,
one...
I understand by tweezing, Morana, they're shaping it. They are not removing anything. Whatever eyebrow is there, they are... so-called making it look nice. That's how I understand it. By tweezing, I do not mean removal.
Jazakallah. If one's father orders one to buy cigarettes for him, should he obey his father?
It is permissible to obey. However, that the son should advise the father that smoking is makruh, and smoking is detrimental to the health, and smoking is wastage of money, time, energy, effort, and smoking is not a good thing. And ulama ikram, and some are even going to the extent it is not correct to say it is haram. So all this should be stated to the father in a loving, caring manner, not in a fighting, bullying manner.
Jazakallah. Can a woman remove hair from her legs?
It is permissible.
And then the next question, are we allowed to cut our nails after sunset?
It is absolutely permissible as long as there is light. The old lady's tale was that you cannot cut nails in the night. I presume I stated before that this is when there were no lighting systems, no brightness available. Therefore, they said don't cut the nails in the night. You do not know where the nail cut will fly to. May fly in the food, in the drink, and may fly into places where you do not want to. Now there is lighting system, visibility is plenty, so the pairing of nails can be done anytime as long as you know what you're doing.
Jazakumullah. Let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Your question.
I'd like to ask Mufti Sahab regarding a kurta and a beard. Is it sunnah to wear kurta or wajib? And for the beard, is it sunnah or wajib?
Okay, Jazakallah. Is that the only question?
Jazakallah.
Jee, Mufsab, is it sunnat or wajib to wear kurta and also a beard?
1 minute. Yeah, I just wrote down the beard and kurta. As far as the beard is concerned, then irrespective of where the Muslim is, whether he's in Jakarta or Jamaica, whether he's in Cape or Cairo, any part of the world, the beard, jurisprudically, is wajib, compulsory. The length fishful is wajib, compulsory. And to cut or trim the beard less than a fishful is is haram according to all four out of four imams. For a detailed exposition on this, you can go to my website, alislam.co.za, and then you'll find an article on the beard where we have quoted from Quran, Ahadith, and the Fuqaha Ikram, that all of them, four out of four, say that it is wajib to keep the beard. Yes, it is called Sunnah of the Anbiya, because that's the way, pattern, norm of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Remember this word Sunnah, we should realize, one is jurisprudically speaking Sunnah, and one is that Sunnah meaning literally, technically, way, path, and norm, and a method followed by the Anbiya alayhi salam. As far as the kurta is concerned, that remember that in Islam, the sunnat dress of any locality will be judged, and the benchmark and the yardstick and the criterion to classify for males the sunnat dress will be in accordance with the pious, righteous personalities of the locality, of that area, of that province, of that country. Now, generally, alhamdulillah, the pious, righteous personalities of the locality of any given area are inevitably the ulama ikram. Because they are those, alhamdulillah, the ulama rabbani, haqqani, they are those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their libas and their clothing, because they understand the sharia and they understand the parameters of the dress. They understand the levels and degrees of the dress. They understand how to dress, when to dress, why to dress. And they understand the boundaries and limitations of the dress. And they understand the simplicity of the dress, that it has to be above the ankles, loose fitting, and it must be fashionable or gaudy, and it should be simple. All that they understand. So the dress of the ulama of that area will be classified the sunnah dress for that area. So the sunnah libas, the sunnah dress, will be varied country to country depending on the climate, weather, conditions of that country. So in most areas, yes, because the ulama ikram adorn themselves with the kurta, then that will become the sunnah dress of that area.
The next question is about a person who suffers from a loss of memory. Can such a person take a qasam?
First of all, taking of qasam, as a rule, every Muslim should avoid. And unfortunately, in certain quarters and in certain sections of our community, this has become like a joke, insignificant, and taken for granted. And people, unfortunately, take qasam upon qasam, and the value and significance and importance of qasam has died down. So as a rule, any Muslim should not endeavor to take qasam only out of dire necessity. Then a qasam should be taken, a oath should be taken. But unfortunately, there are people, and those who are afflicted by this ailment of taking qasam, every hour on the turn they are taking qasam upon qasam. I do not know why, to reassure themselves that they are not liars perhaps, or not deceivers or con artists. So should, as a rule, no qasam should be taken, only taken out of dire necessity. And especially this person who's got a bad, poor memory, lapsing memory, forgetful, he should totally abstain.
Jazakum Allah. If a person is working for his father and he demands wages, shouldn't he get his pay in his own hands and should not be kept by the father? And that's number one. And is it better to go to work if a person is not happy working under his father?
Second one is a social problem. First one is, unfortunately, it's a lot of dispute. And especially if you have got family members working for you. And especially at times, you will find that the wife, who not supposed to be in the shop, and not supposed to be in the factory, not supposed to be logging for the husband, then she works for the husband, and at a later stage, the wife now says that my husband is a multimillionaire and I'm a pauper. I brought him up and I took him up to where he is, and today he does not want to care for me. In fact, he wants to divorce me for someone else. And this is a result when there is no proper contract, there is no proper stipulation, and there is no proper agreement and understanding, and there is no fulfillment of those contracts and understanding. And this happens also when you have got children working in the same shop, the father and the son, or the son-in-law or father-in-law, when they do not have their contracts in place and they do not have a proper valid contract and understanding, then later on there is such disputes that tear the domestic family life apart. Yes, the son, if he is working for the father, then he is entitled to receive his salary in the hand. The father can supervise the son and can admonish him and suggest to him strongly where to spend it and where not to spend it. But technically speaking, the son is entitled to the salary, and this has to be agreed upon and should not be a lax, loose, flimsy arrangement. When there is no arrangement or a very flimsy arrangement based on so-called understanding, it leads to misunderstanding, quarrel, fighting, dispute, domestic problems. So the father should make it clear to the son, is the son a shareholder or is he on a wage basis? And this should be dealt with accordingly. If he's a shareholder, he must take allowance. If he is not a shareholder, he must be stipulated, wages must be stipulated, and he must get his wages. The second question, the son should negotiate with the father. It is good to work with your father and learn, gain experience, and also learn from the elders how to conduct business, etc. And you should, by mutual understanding and cooperation, create an atmosphere of harmony and understanding so that you can work without fighting and quarreling.
Jazakumullah. Can we keep artificial and live plants in our homes?
Both are permissible. However, don't turn your homes into forests, and don't spend money unnecessarily, and do not spend on those things which have got no benefit. And remember that do not become extravagant and lavish. And also these plants and flowers and artificial plants, etc., should never ever be never make a person go into debt, OD, etc. Yes, if you are wealthy, etc., and you can afford, then it is permissible. But to create a debt and purchase these plants, etc., is totally un-Islamic.
Jazakumullah. Then we have a question. Sometimes drops of urine come out every 30 to 60 minutes. Should I forego my salah with Jamaat when this occurs, or what? How do I keep clean?
You seem to have an understanding when the urine dropping is taking place. Because, alhamdulillah, you have got a proper understanding, then cover the area and cover it so that you can dispose of the tissue, etc., and not soil your garment and clothing. So you know that this is going to happen, and it's going to happen after every 30 minutes. So you will have your tissue, etc., there to absorb the urine drops. Then you do not have to forego your farz salat, because upon removing the tissue, etc., you can clean properly, and your clothing will not be soiled, it will not be napak. You can make wuzu and join the farz salah with Jama.
Jazakumullah. This looks like an international SMS. It says, I kept my beard smaller than a fist for a long time. Can I shave it? Will I get guna?
First of all, keeping the beard less than a fist, that is a person who does that is classified a fasik and a fajir in Islam, a sinner and a transgressor, a evildoer. And a person, for example, in that condition, if he has to make imamat, then the imamat would be makruh tahrimi. According to some fuqaha, and the fatwa is not on that, that the salat has to be repeated. So this person, unfortunately, instead of saying that I would like to now repent and make my beard a fist length, he wants to go in the other direction. Sadly, he wants to go. Rather, unfortunately, he wants to go in the other direction and remove the beard from one sin into another sin, from the frying pan into the fire. And this is absolutely not conducive for a Muslim to do, that he's got a so-called beard and now you want to remove even that. Instead of removing, you should make firm resolution and intention and azm and have courage and grow a fully fledged beard. In fact, in this age, in most countries which are un-Islamic in nature and which have got an agenda against Muslims, Muslims should not abandon the hijab and not abandon the Islamic garb and not abandon the Islamic mode of dressing, especially the beard, and not abandon those things that identify us as Muslims.
Jazakumullah. And listeners, once again we remind you, it's the Q&A program, Questions and Answers. Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas is answering your queries. Anything on your mind, do call us. And our numbers are 011-854-1548. The SMS number is 072-066-7318. And if you are onto SMS from another country, then it's +27 720-66-7318. Another question. In school, we are not allowed to keep a beard. What should we do?
I make dua that I hope that is not a so-called Islamic school or Muslim school that is saying that you cannot keep a beard. If you can find another school, then immediately go and find another school. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed beard to come onto your face, then allow it to grow. And a Muslim should realize that the beard is a sign, a symbol, a chief characteristic of a good, pious, righteous Muslim. So the school should not interfere with this. That school authorities, especially in our country, should realize that there is freedom of religion and practice of religion, and a Muslim should be allowed to adorn the beard and wear the beard. So the authority should be consulted, governing body officials should be consulted. The matter should not be treated lightly. It should be taken to the highest level so that the person who wants to keep a beard for Islamic reasons and to follow the Sharia and emulate Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be allowed to do so.
Jazakumullah. Let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
Shukran. Assalamu alaikum to Mufti Sahab as well. I'd like to know, is it permissible for a mother to know the gender of an unborn baby? That's the first one. And the second one is, is it permissible to leave one's kids with the age and sick mother in order to set out for Hajj?
Okay.
Shukran.
Jazakumullah. Ji Mufti Sahab, to find out the gender of the unborn baby, is it permissible?
It is permissible. The ayat of Surah Luqman, the last ayat, talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the sole ilm, knowledge of the five things, and one of them mentioned is what is in the wombs of the mothers. This does not refer to the gender. This refers to the character of the child, the personality of the child, the fortune and misfortune of the child, the behavior of the child, the risk, the rosy provision of the child, and it does not refer to, as some people think, the gender of the child. However, to go without any real cause for the scan, etc., and waste a lot of money, that will be israf, lavish extravagancy.
Jazakumullah. Mufsab, that question about wearing a beard in the school, it's an international SMS. And the person says it's a law of the country. They're not allowed to practice the freedom of religion.
That law of that country should be questioned and representation should be made to parliament. And if they are forcing you, and if they you do, you should first of all in that country to try, if you are really fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then try to become a homeschooler and practice upon the deen of Islam.
Jazakumullah. The next question, can men wear red clothing?
I've explained this, that red, totally red, when in any garment the threading is longitudinal and latitudinal, or horizontal and vertical. When you go to any textile firm, then you will see the looms, etc., working, and they are threading in these two ways. That means sideways, upwards, downwards. And if both the threading, the vertical and horizontal, both threading are red, then it is makruh to wear such a garment. But if one of those threadings has got a different shading and color, then it is permissible. And if that whole garment has got patches of other colors, then it is permissible also.
Jazakumullah. And let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Maulana and Mufti Sahab, I'd like to pose a question regarding Oasis, regarding investment. The person who represent Oasis says that they actually, it's a Sharia compliant sort of investment, and they mention that they don't get involved into places like breweries, banks, etc. They check out the investments. How much clarity can Mufti Sahab give us that if Muslim brothers, like a syndicate of brothers, are putting interest-free money to help each other, then they're thinking of investment, is it feasible to go for something like Oasis investment?
Okay. You want to listen on the radio, brother?
Jazakallah.
Wa alaikum salam. Mufti Sahab, your perhaps a general advice?
The question I did not pick up, but I just got a vague idea. It was concerning investment company.
Mm.
Just understand one small basic principle rule, that any company claiming that it is Sharia compliant, and any company, you should investigate who are the ulama ikram behind them. And if the ulama ikram are kosher, if they are pious, righteous, and if they are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have got confidence in those ulama ikram, and that organization has got its checks and balances in place, then for you as a layman to invest in that organization and company will be permissible. And on the day of judgment, you will have, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions, then you can say, I invested there because of the presence of these ulama ikram who sanctioned this product. So any organization, without mentioning any names, that you find out who are the ulama ikram, if they are reputable, renowned, righteous. Remember, righteous, pious, and having knowledge, these are the preconditions. Then come renowned and reputable, etc. And if you find that in order, then you may invest in
Jazakumullah. Let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
I just wanted to find out regarding the Ijtima that's coming up this weekend. Brothers that are traveling from the Lens area going to the Ijtima, will we be counted as a Musafir or not? And then I would like to know if the time for Isha that starts, the walk starts at 7:08, and by mistake the Muazzin gave the Adhan at 7 o'clock. And when all the brothers came to the masjid, at 8:30, the salah was supposed to start, but the imam said the adhan had to be given. But did they have to give a second adhan or not? Or otherwise, what is the masla?
Okay, Jazakallah. And brother, your first question, what's the distance for your traveling?
I'm not sure what the distance from Lens to Brits. I think it's about 70 kilometers, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, Jazakallah. Listen on the air.
Ji. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Ji Mufsad, the first question the brother wants to know.
If the distance is 70 kilometers, then definitely the person will not be a musafir. I repeat, if the person is traveling only 70 kilometers, that definitely the person will not be a musafir. And inshallah, there is going to be the Board of Muftis are going to be discussing the Shari distance for a person to become a musafir. So inshallah, when the final rulings will take place in a couple of months' time, we will inform of that research. The second question that concerning the azan given prior to the time. Now, because the azan was not valid, meaning it was given at the wrong time, now when they came into the masjid, if they had performed their salat with jama'ah, the salah with jama'ah would have been valid. However, the imam requested that the azan be given again. That is a good action. And the imam should not be rebuked for this. And the imam has done right in this case. Because if he did not do this, then unfortunately it may just send out a wrong signal and people may lose the importance of the azan. So what the imam has done is valid, correct, nice, praiseworthy in setting the matter records right. What he should have been done, the azan should have been given, then 4 minutes should have been given for the sunnah to be performed, and then inshallah the Isha Salah should have been performed.
Jazakumullah. The next question, is it permissible? Sorry, before we go, that let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
I've got a question to ask Mr. Saab. Can you read your Qazai Umri's Pijar time? For Pijar.
You mean the whole days or just...
No, just
Fajr. Fajr. Okay, Jazakallah Ben.
I'll see you on the read.
Jazakallah. Alaykum Salaam. Ji Mr. Saab, can you read Qazai Umri of Fajr time?
Yes, why not? You can read Qazai Umri of Fajr at Fajr time. Some callers, Malana, I hear them very clearly. Some callers, I do not hear anything.
Jazakallah. The next caller, Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum. Your question, brother?
Ji, Master, I asked a question earlier, 2 questions or 1 question wasn't answered, right? It was about can a husband and wife set out for Hajj, leaving their responsibility, example, the small kids, with their age and sick matter.
Okay. Jazakallah. We'll answer it now. Ji Muftizah, can a husband and wife leave their young children with the old aged mother while they go for Hajj?
The husband and wife are going to go for Hajj, leaving their children in the care of the aged mother. This, although it will be permissible, however, not advisable. And not advisable because the aged mother will not be able to supervise the children properly, and she will not be able to care for them, and she will not be able to see whether they are doing the right thing, going in the right company, because of her age, etc. If she can do all those things, then it is permissible.
Jazakumullah. And yes, and next, another caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. I just like to know if someone passed away in London or Cape Town or somewhere, and like now the family in Joburg, they want to read the janazah namaz. So would it be permissible for them here in South Africa to for the family to get together and read the janazah namaz even after the mayit has taken place?
Okay. Jazakallah Ben.
Okay.
Chief Mufsab, can you read?
This is the masla of Salat Janazah Ghaibana. And this is to perform the Salat Janazah when the body of the deceased is not present. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi says this is permissible. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi says not permissible.
Okay, Jazakallah. Well, what are the alternatives for such a situation? Maybe the family wants to...
Oh, yes. That's, what you said is very good. I appreciate that. The alternative should be done. Yes, make dua for the deceased, recite Quran al-Kareem, pass sawab for the deceased, do a good action, pass sawab for the deceased, and make charity, engage in charity, pass sawab for the deceased, and make a lot of nafil ibadat for a pass the sawab for the deceased. So there are so many things that can be done. A person should not be despondent and should not only say that, oh, I cannot make the salat and janazah, therefore now my hands are tied, I cannot do anything. There are so many alternatives we have stated.
Jazakumullah. Let's take our next question. Is it permissible to sell fireworks? Can one say, okay, that's the one question about fireworks. Is it permissible to sell fireworks?
Although it is permissible, it is definitely makruh. Because of its waste of money, time, energy, and because it is hazardous to human beings and animals.
Jazakallah. Can one say Ameen to a reply to Jazakallah?
Person gave another person something, and the person said Jazakallah.
Yeah.
And the person replies Ameen.
Yeah.
It is not proven, so when it is not proven, you should not do it.
Okay. Jazakallah. If a married son helped his parents financially, now he needs financial help himself, is it necessary for his parents to help him?
This is what we refer the question that came earlier on. That when you have business together, transaction together without proper stipulation, and sometimes table turn, etc., now, unfortunately, the son is in difficulty. The parents should help the son. Although it is not obligatory for them to do so, they should do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them tremendously.
Jazakumullah. Well, what is the best way to control one's anger?
The hadith is very clear on this, that if a person is angry, then anger is a fire and water cools fire, so the person should make wuzu. If a person is angry while standing, he should sit down. If a person is angry while sitting down, he should lie down. And also that if a person is angered by a situation and a case and a setup, the best is to move away from that place and go to some other place so that the person does not get involved. And also that remain silent. Best also is to try to control the tongue by retaliating and replying. Then the assistance of Allah and the Malaika, as directed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are removed from that person and are lifted from that person. So the person should not further the heated discussion and start raising his voice and shouting. The person keeps quiet and goes away. Makes wuzu, performs salah.
Jazakallah. Another question. While listening to this program on radio, the person is crossing with another station and there's music in the background. He wants to know what should he do?
Try to avoid utilizing that particular transistor, invest in another one, or if you are in a position, await the satellite Islam, which has no interference whatsoever. Perhaps try to make your take your radio to another room, etc. Unconsciously, unintentionally, involuntarily, if there is forcefully another station interjecting and you are listening to this music involuntarily, unintentionally, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah will forgive.
Jazakallah. If one sponsors a child's fees in madrasa, is it a form of sadaqah jariyah?
Inshallah, that will be sadaqah jariyah. And sadaqah jariyah means perpetuating charity. So inshallah, that will definitely be something that is noble, rewarding, and a very good action the person is doing.
Jazakallah. Is it permissible to make 200% profit on chappies?
On?
Chappies.
Any item, whatever the product is, you can make any amount of profit. However, remember that this must not be exploitation and this not be exorbitant charges. If it is exploitation and taking advantage over the situation, then that will be accountable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A product which is a need and a necessity, like sugar, bread, etc., the profit market should not be exorbitant. In an Islamic country, the Muslim government, Islamic government, will control and stipulate the prices of basic necessities for the benefit of his populace. Items of luxury and comfort, ease, their profit can be stipulated unlimited.
JazakAllah. Let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. I've got a question. Look, we're renting a flat at the moment, okay, and the rent is quite high, and the rent for similar flats are about the same. Now, we have an option to take a bond, and we'll pay the same amount. Now, the rent, every year it goes up by 8%, 10%, whereas the bond will stay fixed. You know, it'll stay fixed at about 12% or whatever the case may be. Now, can we go out and take out the bond? Yeah, because assuming we're paying 2,000 rand now, in 3 or 4 years time we're going to be paying say 3,000 rand.
Okay.
So what do we do in a case like that?
Okay. Jazakallah for the question. Mustafa will answer it, inshallah.
All right. Can I listen on the radio?
Ji, Mustafa.
The brother has got a valid scenario. He's got a proper case. And this is a typical thing that is happening. So what he should go to a finance institute, whether it be a building society, whether it is the commercial bank, whether it is the Islamic banks or any other. There, he should enter into a transaction whereby the loan that he gets must be fixed. Number one, the loan must be fixed. Number two, the repayment must be fixed. Number three, the duration of repayment must be fixed. And there must be no fluctuation in the original loan capital. And number four, he should have option of settlement, that perhaps sometimes he gets extra money, he's able to feed that loan. When he's got these four clauses in place, then irrespective of where he gets this loan, he can go and take that loan.
Okay, JazakAllah. There you have it, brother. You can go ahead with those conditions, take the bond. The next question...
I'm not calling it bond.
The loan. Sure. The next question, is mehndi tattoos for ladies permissible?
Tattooing is generally not allowed in Islam. And unfortunately, in our age, tattooing has become the way of the fasiq and the fujar, the way of evil doers, the transgressors, and those people who are far from deen. As a rule, a good Muslim should not tattoo using anything and should stay away. Remember that I am not talking of mehndi designs and patterns which the ladies generally put for their joyous occasion. That is permissible. Tattooing, I am saying that they should avoid, abstain, and many an ulama will say that it is not permissible.
JazakAllah. The next question, I don't know if it's clear. It says that does halal and haram apply to cats? Did you understand that question, Mufsa?
Perhaps they're talking about what to feed the animals.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps they're talking about what to feed the animals. Remember, as Muslims, that halal we eat and halal we give those animals which we keep, we give them halal to eat.
JazakAllah. A person has a sugar problem, sugar diabetic, and sometimes he goes into a coma. Must he make ghusl when he recovers?
Person obviously goes into a coma. When he goes into a coma, then the ghusl does not become farz.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Can a woman wear a nose ring for her husband?
The scholars are stating clearly that the nose ring is not an Islamic pattern, and not an Islamic norm, and not an Islamic culture. It hasn't got to do with anything Islamic. So this is not an Islamic practice, and the lady should avoid this.
JazakAllah. Can one take photos with can one take photos of one when one goes to Mecca and Medina for remembrance?
They go there to Jabal al-Rahmat and then they sit on the camels and take photographs there. This is all haram, not permissible.
Jazakallah. The next question we have here is, Salams, I'm living with my mother-in-law. I try and do everything to please her. I love her as my own mother, and I'm not against her, but nothing is ever good enough for her. She plays a different role in front of my husband. She pretends to be good, but when he's not around, she's cold. Please help me.
She should not worry about this, and she should try to make the best of the worst situation. And she should try to explain what she has explained here to her husband in privacy, and try to understand that all people are not good all the time. And she should try to find out what pleases her mother-in-law, etc., so that she can win her over, and by doing so, inshallah, she can live a harmonious life. However, she should at all times remember that she should maintain good relationship with everybody around, especially in this case with her husband, because he is the one who is going to represent her.
Jazakallah. If someone gets robbed and the robbers leave the equipment behind, what must one do with that equipment?
That equipment does not belong to the one who has been robbed. That it belongs to those robbers. So if they are apprehended giving some certain time, then they should be given that equipment back to them. However, if they are not, a person can sell them and give it out to the poor and needy.
Okay, Jazakallah. Can a man wear a woman's dress, or a woman wear a man's dress?
This is our century. That's why these sort of questions come about. That men want to dress like ladies want to dress like men. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly cursed the males who imitate females and the females who imitate men. So definitely this is not permissible, brings the wrath of Allah, anger of Allah, and brings the azab, punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you see people doing this, then stay far from such people. They are transgressors.
Jazakallah. A bank has a proper Shari'i car finance system, and they have prominent ulama back in that financial system. But one of the conditions is that the car must be insured in order to get the money for that car. Well, is this correct?
First of all, there are two, three things here. The person is talking of a financial institute, and he says they are backed by a group of notable, pious, righteous ulama. And I've stated earlier on in the program that once that is there, then the person should go ahead with the transaction. I've stated previously in the program that certain ulama, including myself, are of the opinion that because of our political situation and crime rate, etc., in our country, the temporary insurance on cars is permissible.
Jazakallah. Can a person take photos of his children with him while he's going for Hajj to remind him of his children?
These sort of activities are the activities of the Fasiq and the Fujar, the transgressors and evildoers. And this should not be done. And it should be avoided. Going for Hajj and taking such photographs, even prior to making the Hajj, you are creating the causes for displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the time you make intention for going for Hajj and proceeding for Hajj and on your journey and on return. And to start the Hajj on a wrong foot, then the whole of Hajj will not be very effective. There will be very little barakah in that Hajj.
Jazakallah. Next question, is medical aid permissible in this? Okay, before we go to that, let's take our caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
See, I just asked a question about sugar diabetes again.
See,
I want to ask, does the person need to make husal if his sugar goes low and he's very disorientated and confused, does he have to make khusal?
Does he lose his mind?
No, he doesn't lose his mind. He's just disorientated and confused.
Okay. What's up? You got that question?
The first question was about wet unconscious, right? Wet in coma.
Yes.
He does not break the ghusl.
Yes.
So what our respectable brother is saying?
He's saying that he becomes disorientated and out of control, brother?
No, he becomes disorientated. Does it break his ghusl?
No, it doesn't, brother.
Okay.
Jazakallah.
Assalamualaikum.
Walaikum salam. Then the next question, Mufti Saab, is about medical aid in this country with the poor health services. Is it permissible?
Certain ulama are saying it is permissible.
To take medical aid. Is it a privilege or a right to get arbitration?
What do you mean, a privilege or a right?
That's how the question says. Is it a privilege or a right to get arbitration?
In a dispute, a normal dispute, that, for example, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the dispute between the husband and the wife, then the first stage is obviously separation of beds, then negotiation. So we should have negotiation first, then mediation, then arbitration, which results in disciplinary judgment be passed. That should be the cause.
Jazakallah. We're almost coming to the end of our program, listeners. The next question, what can one do if one sees a parent hit a small child?
First of all, you must understand that is the parent doing this for a valid reason or not? So initial interference will not be allowed until you analyze totally what is happening, why it is happening, and the causes, the pros and cons of that whole scenario and case before commenting anyway. If it is the child is being punished unjustly, then you got grounds to approach the parent and speak and address the person and tell him that this is not a good action. But if there is also a just cause and the beating is overdone and the corporal punishment is too harsh, then you also can admonish the parent. But never do this admonishing counseling in front of the child. This should be done in privacy when you are alone with the parent. If you are going to do it in front of the child, then this is going to send out a completely wrong signal, and instead of sorting the problem, you're going to escalate the problem.
Jazakallah. About the Sadqa Jariya question, must there be any intention made for the beneficiary of the reward?
This is a very important question. And most of the time, unfortunately, people think they are passing the rewards to people and they are making sadqa jariya for people. But in reality, they do not do this. So when you are going to do something for someone, then mention it, that I am reciting this for the Isa alayhi salam, for a certain person. When you take money and you transfer it to a certain person's account, you will give a lot of details of that account for that money to reach there. Similarly, that when you are making Isa alayhi sawab, then you must mention who you are doing it for.
The next question, if goods are stolen from the front showcase of the shop where customers walk, are the staff responsible for the loss?
No, they are not responsible for that loss. Because they, as far as they are concerned, if they were deputed for caring for that, or they were security and specialized security caring for that area, then they will be responsible. But if they are just a general salesman, assistant, attendant, then they are not responsible for that.
The next SMS, I am a young Muslim girl. Am I allowed to work in a call center to earn an income for tertiary study? Say, there are boys that also work there.
We have explicitly, clearly stated that our view on this is that the females should not go to those places, and here it is a one going to another mess, one mess to another mess. And to earn money going towards another direction, which we also say it is not the role and responsibility, a duty of a female to go for this tertiary education. Worse is now that he's going to go to such an environment which is detrimental for a iman, honor, dignity, and chastity. Now, to go into that environment and to earn money will be absolutely not conducive to the letter and spirit of Islam.
Jazakumullah, Mufti Sahab. I think we've come to the end of today's Q&A program, and a lot of questions, also a lot of SMSs that have come through. We say Jazakumullah to the listeners and also the callers. Jazakumullah for asking your questions over the air, and through that, alhamdulillah, we benefited very much. Your closing remarks, Mufti Sahab?
Tonight I would like to just make one remark concerning the Hufaz. That alhamdulillah, Ramadan, you're not far away. And our humble appeal, an earnest appeal to the Hufaz and the parents of the Hufaz and the Asatiza of the Hufaz is that they should commence now with their door and be diligent, devoted to their door, and study hard so that when Ramadan comes, they are able to recite Quran al-Kareem properly, correctly, and with a good retentive memory, without faltering too many times. It is human to make errors, but to go on to the musalla and to make error upon error, blunder upon error, is not good. Secondly, that the Hufaz, in order to revise, then all the sunnah and nafil salat of the day, that if they have to divide their one para for all the nafil and sunnah salat, they will be able to recite one para of Quran al-Kareem in the sunnah and nafil salat of that day. So they'll be able to revise in salat, in their sunnah and nafil salat, for that day one para at least. Also, that they should behave like Muslims, and their character, personality should be like Muslims, and they should be upright in nature, and also they should grow the beard, not trim it. Come Ramadan, we have to rule against them when they apply for places. And the trustee's phone has up that the Hafiz has applied, but he has got a beard that is short, he's trimming it. And the ruling is very clear from all quarters that that Hafiz who shaves or trims, modifies his beard, should not be allowed to perform the Taraweeh Salat in the masjid. So please do not give us the opportunity to rule against you. And also, we appeal humbly to the A'immah and the Imams of the Masajid that do not buckle and bend down to the trustees' children who do not conform to the Sharia. If they apply and they are the children of the trustees and they do not conform to the Sharia, they must not be allowed to perform Salat Taraweeh where they fall short of the requirements of a proper Imam.
Jazakumullah once again, Mufti Sahab, for joining us and taking your time, and may Allah accept it. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.